Well, Lord our God, we come to thee this day and in all days, seeking your wisdom, your love, your forgiveness, your grace. And as we celebrate this day, your Saint Patrick, let us remember that he gave himself and his life up to service. He returned to the land in which he was enslaved, that he might be your servant. So lift us up, Lord, like Patrick. Lift us up, Lord, and be our companion in life, that we may not be the instrument of our own or of another person's oppression. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
I'm from Chicago. You know what we do every St. Patrick's Day? Tons and tons of orange powder to dye the river green. We still don't know about the environment yet in Chicago. It is good to be here with you. It's been a long time since I've been here, and I see some new faces. I guess I'm new to some of you, too. But it is good to be here with you in the midst of Lent, as Lent is closing. Indeed, this is the last Sunday in Lent. We heard in our first lesson today from the prophet Isaiah. He is my favorite among the major prophets in the Bible. I mean, after all, his words inspired Handel to write the Messiah. Remember those words, comfort ye my people, or for unto us a child is born. We hear them a lot around Christmas time. But Isaiah is also quoted in our lessons during the Epiphany season. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I send you as a light to the nations. And we know in the Epiphany season that Jesus' first sermon was based on Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Basically, that was his sermon. He just read it and said, today it's been fulfilled. During Holy Week, which begins next Sunday, we will hear over and over from Isaiah. He'll talk about my servant whom I uphold. That is God talking about the Messiah. And Good Friday especially, we remember those words from Isaiah about the coming Messiah. He was despised and rejected, and all we like sheep go astray. Of course, at Easter, the promise of the end of death, that we might enter into the eternal kingdom of God. He tells us in his words, looking forward to the future, the words that came to him from God. Isaiah says, he will swallow up death forever. I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth, and the wolf and the lamb shall lie together and feed together. Beautiful, beautiful words from Isaiah. A poet. And we hear from him throughout the Pentecost season, the longest one in our church. But today's reading from the prophet Isaiah should be disconcerting to Episcopalians. Think about it. In the middle of that passage, Isaiah says that God has said, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Now, certainly, Episcopalians have a problem with new things, usually. Many have left our church over the new thing called women's ordination, or that ordination is not denied because of sexual orientation, or that we have same-sex blessings and marriages. They have left over the new thing called a broader reading and understanding of Scripture, of us being inclusive in our witness and ministry and in our churches, no longer just Eurocentric, but including the heritage of different ethnic cultures and races around this planet, including Black music and Hispanic music and Native music in our hymnals. And of course, some people are still upset that we don't have the 1928 prayer book. Obviously, that's when God spoke. They forget that the 1928 replaced the 1892 book, so, you know, whatever. Matter of fact, because we have this new contemporary language in our prayer book and in many of the versions of the Bible we use in our churches, they can't recognize, those who have left, that God does do new things over and over and over and over and over. I do a new thing, says God. Do you not perceive it? There's an old joke all this reminds me of. I mean, this is really old. Peter probably has already heard it. That's how old it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm old too, man. You know, these 60s are a pain, aren't they? God. Anyhow, how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? What? Change that light bulb? My grandmother gave that light bulb. Isaiah the prophet says, God has said, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah, in delivering these words from God, knew and foresaw that the Messiah would not be born as a king, as the people thought, or leader of an army of military might to overturn the Romans. But he came as a servant. He came with God's love. And this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, has returned to Jerusalem in today's gospel. He's returned to danger and intrigue, to do a new thing, to offer himself, God's own self, on the cross for us. A new thing, God sacrificing God's own self for us. That's a strange kind of understanding of victory and power. In these last days of Jesus on earth, he wants to be with his dearest friends, his most trusted friends. So he goes to the familiar and comforting home in Bethany of Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary. And Mary, as you heard in the gospel, comes and bathes and anoints Jesus' feet with costly oil. In this humble and profound act, she is pouring out generosity, yes, but also hospitality, gratitude, her own love, and I think her hope for the future with Jesus. Now, Jesus is upset. He probably was shocked. This oil, as he said, could be traded to feed the poor. Now, that is a just and good thought. I would say in most cases, we would say, that's well spoke. What a wonderful, that's right. But Jesus knew what was really in Judas's heart. My friend Sam Pataro, a spiritual director and a priest of the Episcopal Church, has written, Judas did have a point, but missed a more obvious and important one. Mary's gesture was her gift to give, not his and not ours. And it was precisely the gift Jesus needed. He accepted the gift with the same generosity with which it had been offered, but he also accepted it with sadness. This act of love for Mary was one of pure love. And Jesus was open to its intent and purpose as he was to Judas's words. Open to know that what we experience, what we see, taste, smell, and touch is not all there is. There is always something beyond the practical, the touchable, the tangent. There's always something else that we don't always see or perceive. You see, God does not act as we act, with our sensibilities. God does not look narrowly upon us, or have a narrow vision for us, or narrow expectations for us. God does not think as narrow as we do. What God does is give love generously, in the same sense that Mary gave. She acted in love. Love that was beyond the obvious of pouring oil on the feet of Jesus. Sam says also about this act, love does not always express itself in ways that conform to our sense of morality or propriety. Love is sometimes hidden, elusive, and when it is, our own response Our own response reveals our sin. Hatred of those different from ourselves and disdain of their gifts only reveals our own lovelessness. Love is not always easy, and it is never simple. We who would love Jesus, love as Jesus desired and as Jesus did, must learn to discern love's many facets and faces. Is it so surprising that Jesus responded as he did? They are not angry words of rebuke. They are words of anyone who in that moment saw love betrayed. His own disciples did not recognize love even when revealed in their presence. And Sam ends, "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Let her keep it for my burial." The love he sought could not be found in Judas or in the others. When we do not or cannot or want to recognize God's love around us, we're like Judas. We betray God's presence, the possibilities, and the love God offers us. When we do not want to see that God is doing a new thing among us, that what God is doing in us is to produce the love that God seeks in us, that when we refuse to recognize that we can become what we promise every time we renew our baptismal vows, when we do that, when we refuse to see, want, or recognize God's love, then we too are constructing a nail that is driven in God's Son, our Savior Jesus. We construct nails ourselves, surely, when we refuse to recognize his new thing of love. We construct those nails, surely, as those that were driven into the hands and into the feet of Jesus on the cross.